out to the D2D podcast. We got an extra special double Golden Door winner here with us for the Golden Dive, a Golden Door deep dive segment of this podcast, Mr. Corbin Hansen.
Yep.
Brought to us from St. George, Utah.
Mm-hmm.
The first 18-year-old golden double Golden Door winner, I believe.
Probably.
Dang, man. Sure. This is insane. So, Corbin, it's amazing to have you here. Walk us through your stats. What was the revenue that you ended with? How many accounts did that translate into? Uh-huh. Walk me through that.
This year I sold 1.3 million. I did like 1,080 accounts. So I had like around a $1,200 contract value.
Wow.
Yep.
That's definitely a lot. What market were you in?
I started in Indianapolis, and then we worked up to like Fort Wayne, so like right north of Indy, and then went to Detroit for the last like month of the summer.
Okay. So, Midwest.
Yep.
And then this is your second Golden Door, correct?
I did 650K last year.
Okay. So second. Well, I guess technically third Golden Door since you got second two third, this
yeah.
year.
That's
so right. Yeah. Numbers two and three this very year. Dude, I think, you know, us in the industry, we're all, you know, wanting to know, like, what's your story? How'd you get into it? And how did you become so damn good at selling?
So I've got three older brothers, Drew, Jeremy, and James, that have sold for, I think this will be their sixth year in the industry. And so, it was just kind of expected to go sell.
Yeah.
Just 'cause it's like, I'd watched them for 3-4 years and then it was like, okay, cool. I mean, yeah, I might as well go out and sell.
You weren't going to not sell. No, like, being Drew Hansen's little brother, you're not going to not sell.
Yeah, and for sure, like, seeing just how much success they had, it was like, yeah, dude, I might as well go try it at least.
Yeah.
And then this last year, or my first year, went out and sold 650K with Drew. And then this last year, I was with my co-manager, Preston Strickland, in Indy. So
okay, yeah. There we go. So there's kind of a cool little, like, segue into it. So being Drew Hansen's little brother, did you feel like there was like just like a ton of weight of expectation for you to be good?
No. I mean, it was kind of like we're for sure a lot different. And so
yeah,
it wasn't like I had this pressure of doing what Drew's done. It just kind of naturally been that way.
Okay.
But yeah, no. Not really.
'Cause a lot of people might like be like, oh, like I gotta like be like my older brother. It's like when you like go to the same high school as your older siblings and your teacher finds out that
yeah.
Oh, you're their little brother and like they got straight A's. Exactly. And like they expect you to do the same thing if not better.
Yeah, it was it helped me set a bar like for myself just because it's like we have the same upbringing, and so it kind of just gave me more hope and like, oh dude, I could actually go rip and sell a lot.
Yeah.
Just seeing him do it for 3-4 years before I got into like the industry and stuff. But yeah, I'd say that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did he provide a lot of like private mentoring? Like, did he talk to you a lot or what did that kind of look like?
Yeah. I mean, my first year we were car partners every day. So it was like, yeah, dude, he was always there for sure. But as far as like summer like training and stuff, it was all with my brother Jerem my first year. Which they're pretty similar. Like Jerem's, he sold over 400 accounts in the summer. For sure is like not bad at all.
Yeah.
And so it was mostly training with him, but then throughout the summer and stuff, I'm always on the phone with Drew. He's walking me through everything and stuff, but yeah.
That's good. So it's amazing to have a good support system, you know, having those mentors around you. You know, not all of us have Drew Hansen as an older brother, but at the same time, all of us don't need to have Drew Hansen as an older brother. Reach out to people that you know. People are open books. There's abundance around in the world that we're in. So, which is absolutely incredible. So you get a Golden Door last year. What made you want to get a double Golden Door this year?
I don't know. It was kind of just like, I only knocked barely under 4 months last year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, dude, I know I can go sell over a mil. That was like kind of the goal. But then like the goal is just go do a million. But then close to the summer is like, okay, cool. I want to double. I want to go do 1.3. and I'm gonna stay as long as it takes to like make it happen.
Mm.
But I don't really know what. I guess it was kind of like Drew. That's what Drew sold last year, and so I guess that kind of set that goal for me, set that bar. But I don't know. It's kind of just it made sense to where like I was like my last month of my rookie year, I sold over 200K, and so I was like, oh dude, I could for sure level up and go sell 200 to 250K a month the
Yeah.
next summer. So
So it almost wasn't even like a question, it was just like the standard.
yeah, I mean when I broke it down where it's like I'm not gonna have that 2 month learning curve like I did my rookie year.
Yeah.
It's like I should be able to go out my first month and sell over 200K. It's like, yeah, it probably makes sense to go sell 1.3.
I love it. I
Yeah.
love it. So I'm sure you get hit up a lot. There are a lot of people that think like, oh, this guy has like the secret sauce. This guy has the secret pitch. Tell people what is the secret sauce to selling massive numbers?
There's no secret sauce like at all. Me, like I firmly believe that it's like, dude, as far as like technique wise goes, like me and a rep that sells 300 to 400 accounts, dude, it's the exact same. Maybe there's little tweaks like here and there, but dude, it's such a mental thing where just learning how to break through those barriers and do more and just break through, like reach higher potentials. It's like that's what comes into the secret sauce. It's not what I say, how I say it. Sure, those things for sure like help a ton, but that's just not what like makes it like what makes you like make it happen when it comes down to it, I think.
Absolutely. It's Kung Fu Panda. There's no secret ingredient.
Yep.
It's just you.
Exactly.
You are the secret ingredient. What would you say to someone that, is selling like only like 400 accounts in a summer, like, and they want to hit Golden Door? Like, how do they level up? What are the tweaks that they do need to make?
I'd say a couple things. It's one, it's like, dude, you gotta just be around people that have done it. It's so hard to go out and do a Golden Door when you're just not working with someone that's done it before, right? It's like, it just wouldn't make sense for me if I'm a 400K rep or 300K rep to work with someone that sold 250K to help me get to a Golden Door. It's like, that just doesn't make sense. And so it's like, dude, you gotta be around guys that have done it consistently and done it over and over again. And then two, it's just, dude, it's you got to commit to it, and there's just no looking back. Like throughout the summer, it was like, dude, I for sure had doubts. Like, dude, I don't know if I could do this. Dude, maybe I could just do a mill and then I can go home. It's my second year, that's fine. But then it's like, dude, that's where you like really have to dig deep. And it's like, no, I set out to accomplish this goal. I'm gonna stay out as long as I need, or I'm gonna work as late as I need to make sure it happens. So I'd probably say those two things for
Yeah,
sure.
because a lot of people, they like the idea of the goal, but they don't like the work that goes into the
No,
goal.
yeah.
And those key moments of decision where it's like, oh, I could either go home early, call it a day, got my face kicked in, or oh, hey, I could go knock a few more doors and just try to sling in one more deal before it gets too dark. Those are like those key moments of decision. What would you say? Because a lot of guys, we talk a lot about mindset. We talk a lot about discipline and self-belief and surrounding yourself with people that do Golden Door to hit it. From a technical standpoint, like sales skill standpoint, what did it take for you to learn to become good at selling?
Like as far as like learning how to adapt my technique
As far
or
as like, learning the pitch, learning the sales process, like learning the art of persuasion.
I think a lot of it not fully came naturally, but like a lot of it came naturally to where I don't know. I think I was just a fast learner with it. Like and especially dude with like working at the company I work at, the programs and systems they have to train us, it's like there's it just I don't know, it just helps a ton to make it easy to learn how to do it the right way. And then yeah, I think just having those trainers around me to help me with, oh dude, it was like every day when I got in the car, dude, Drew, I'm struggling with this objection, or I called Jeremy, dude, I'm struggling with this objection. How like what do I need to do to get around that? Okay, cool. Now I'm gonna implement that the next day, and just keep building. But it's just being like, I think, especially my first summer, and even this last summer, it's like, dude, I was just so coachable that it helped me learn a ton and be able to grow and stack dubs every single day, to help improve my skill, and technique and stuff.
Yeah, I love that because it's like, the element of being coachable. Because a lot of guys get really into themselves and just think like, oh, well, like I'm the best. I already know this stuff. I don't need to rework my pitch. I don't need to learn how to overcome objections. I've studied. I know this. But like having that level of humility and reaching out to people that you know are better than you, I think is a very, very key element. Like what you just said. What let's kind of go into the summer a little bit. So you were in Indiana, right? So Indiana, Midwest, what were you dealing with? Was it a very saturated market? Was it a lot of switchovers? What was it kind of like?
There was like, 'cause I was in Philly the year before, and there was only like two or three companies we knocked with in Indy. I think this year there was probably somewhere between like seven and nine companies. I don't know for sure. So a little bit more. Way switchover heavy. And then Detroit was a little bit less. Indy was the most saturated, which I like, just competing every day. It helped me a ton. It's like, dude, when I could go into a hood and have two other kids show up in my hood that day, oh dude, I love that. Like, that is so sick. Where I can just go and literally it's me versus them, and let's see who wins, basically. So I thought that was sick. But then Detroit, yeah, it was a little bit less, same kind of people, but a little bit less companies. But I like the competitive market.
I
I
love
think it helps
that.
me out a ton.
Yeah, especially being like, seeing the two other guys in the neighborhood, and you're like, oh yeah, it's game time. And like, they're gonna be beat by a freaking 18-year-old.
Exactly. It helps. I think it helped me like just push myself a lot. It was like, dude, I would show up to hood and there was some other kid from a different company there. It's like, oh dude, I have to like turn it on today. I'm not gonna like let this kid like outsell me. There's no shot. And so it's like, I think it pushed me a ton.
Yeah, I don't know if you ever read Will Smith's autobiography, but he talks about he's like, yeah, you put me on a treadmill and a guy next to me on a treadmill, I will either beat him or I will die. Like having that level of like competition and excitement, and that's what gets us stoked and juiced for the job. You know what I mean? Because it's like the job is walking around and talking to people and slinging bug juice. Not the most glamorous product to sell sometimes. And honestly, not even the most glamorous job. And it's oftentimes like kind of boring, even. It's like hot, it's mundane, it's Groundhog Day. But having that element of competition.
That I think that's what makes it fun, and that's what makes the job the job. Like, if there wasn't that like competitiveness, it just wouldn't be what it is. And so that's where it like helps me out a ton. Like, dude, I don't really look at when I'm selling during the day, dude, I don't look at it as like a job. It's literally like, dude, how many points can I go score today and to beat this other guy? Like, that's the way I look at it, and that's what makes it fun, and you actually enjoy the job a lot more. Sure, there's for sure like cons of looking at it that way, of just like crippling over the competitive aspect, but I think in the long run, like, it helps out a ton with that.
Dude, it's like we need it a lot because otherwise I think we'd just go insane. Just like, we get that Karen that comes out and is like, blah, 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 no soliciting neighborhood. And like, if we walk away, if we look at it like it's a game, like it's a numbers game, and we have a person that we're trying to beat, it's like we could care less about that Karen at that point because we're with a mission that's bigger than ourselves at that point. Because we always have to outsource the mission from outside of ourselves. You know what I mean? Where it's like, if we focus so much on ourselves, we're gonna just get kicked in the face. And then at that point it's about ego and every no is a personal hit and everything all the rejection just stacks up and it gets to you. But whereas if we look at it like the game and sport that it is, dude, it's game over.
Yeah, it just turns it into something a lot bigger just than selling pest control. Just 'cause like when you say it like that, it's like, oh, yeah, it's not very glamorous or anything, but when you bring in the competitive aspect of it, it's like, dude, it just changes the game totally.
Yeah, 100%. And then, shouting from the rooftops who you are and having that, you know what I mean? It's just, there's a lot of great elements to that competition piece of it. So, you're in the market, you're learning the switchovers, you're learning, how to have that competitive edge over everyone else that's around you. What would you say, what was the number one objection you got in Indiana?
Like on the doors?
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of in the Midwest, just a lot of do-it-yourselfers. But I don't know. Same. I mean, dude, I don't think like market to market you get different. It's all the same. Like,
Yeah.
cause I marked, I knocked in like up in Fort Wayne, which is like hour and a half of Indy, lot less or a lot like smaller towns and stuff, and then over to like South Bend for a couple weeks over by like Chicago, then to Detroit, and then like Philly last year. I've knocked in like Oklahoma for a week or two. It's all like you just get the same stuff. It's like
Yeah.
it just does. I don't think it's the same kind of people. It's just learning how to I guess connect with different those different types of people. But it's all the same objections, smoke screens, it's the same
Yeah.
stuff. So
It's all just them trying to get you off the
yeah,
doorstep,
basically.
especially in the first little bit.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What do you say to a guy that's like the DIY king?
Yeah, I think when I'm going into like any, I mean, I look at kind of every objection like the same. It's just, it's kind of just getting on their side and then attacking it from like the, it's like we talk about it a lot during the summer of it's not me versus like the homeowner. It's me and the homeowner versus the house and versus the
Ooh,
bugs. Not
you're on
like,
the same
no,
team.
I'm not trying to like battle with them about, no, dude, there's no way you can like do it yourself. That just does not work. That's like stupid. No, dude, let's like actually like conquer this problem together, not just like going head to head with the guy, if that makes
Oh,
sense.
I love that
Yeah.
because if we make it us versus them, they feel that energy.
Yeah. And that's where it's like their walls go up. Now that you're just butting heads, you're not gonna get anywhere with
They
that
don't
person.
trust that.
No,
You're a
which
sales guy at that point.
exactly. Once you can get on their side, then it's like, okay, cool. Now the walls go down. Now you're like homied up with this guy. And then you're going into it.
I love that. I love that because that's the thing. When you're on, when they know, and especially when they feel that, when they feel like, oh, this guy's on my team, like we're just fighting the problem. We're not fighting, he's not fighting me.
Exactly.
Then exactly, the walls break down. He trusts you. They want to solve the issue together. Because sales is essentially just identifying problems and presenting solutions.
Yep.
So
Yeah.
I think that's amazing. So did you have any hard moments over the summer? Anything crazy that you had to kind of overcome?
Yeah, dude, I had so many days where it was like, dude, I just don't know if I can do it. Like, I don't know if I can go another day. And that's what helped me out a ton was having Drew there. Like going back to what I said of, dude, he's just done it. And so like he knows how to go through it, every single step to take to make sure like I make it happen. So it's like, dude, I had countless days that it was like, dude, I just don't know what I'm doing. I'm calling him, freaking out. Dude, I have no idea. And he was just always there to just walk me through it. So I think Drew helped me out a ton with that.
Good.
When I was going into, cause like I started out the summer way hot. It was, I did like, I had one of my better months the first month, like through April, 1st of May and stuff. Stayed pretty consistent, like through like May through like first 2 weeks of July. Then I had 3 weeks, end of July, 1st of August that were just, I was not selling what I could be or what I should have been. And dude, that was way tough. That's where it was like, dude, every day I was like, dude, maybe I could just sell a mil. Maybe I can just do 1,000 accounts. Dude, I just,
Renegotiating the goal.
dude, and that's where it's like, dude, I for sure, everyone, I mean, I'd be lying if I didn't say like, I didn't have those moments where it's like, dude, maybe I can settle for less. Dude, that for sure happens. But that's where it's like, okay, now I have to like actually think back and it's like, no, dude, I set this goal. Dude, I'm gonna keep going. And that's where like I feel like those 3 weeks, 3.5 weeks or whatever, it wasn't like I was working less or not working the hours or not knocking the doors. Dude, it was literally just like I lost the confidence. And that I think those 3 weeks for sure helped me just literally learn how to just stack dubs. And it's like going into then August, then all of September, I had my best month just because I was due to like have big weeks and have a big month. Just because I'd done all those things through those like 3 hard weeks,
Yeah.
which helped me out a ton. But I think it was just getting through those 3 weeks, and then it was like, okay, dude, now I'm gonna hit the ground running and I'm going.
Yeah.
So yeah, there was for sure those days that were just like way hard though, for those weeks. I think like there was those 3 weeks for sure. I kind of like let them just drag themselves out, which I probably shouldn't have. And like I said, it wasn't like I was not working. It was just like, dude, it was just my confidence wasn't there. I wasn't like present on the doorstep. And that's where it's like once I learned how to get through those, then it was off from there. But
Yeah. And how much like, you know, a lot of people kind of would like give up at that point.
yeah.
You know what I mean? And but like how much better of a person did that make you?
Yeah, dude, I think it taught me a lot. It's like, dude, I really learned that, dude, it'll always come around.
Yeah.
Like, dude, it just will. It's just how it works. And I fully believe that. But I don't know, dude, I think it just helped me realize to myself what I could honestly just accomplish. 'Cause, dude, there's every single day. I mean, it's funny being in sales. It's like, especially selling pest control door to door. It's like, dude, you just have those days where you're like, dude, I don't think I can do it today. Like, there's no way, like, I can go sell 10 again. Like, dude, maybe this is just like a luck thing. Where that's what taught me, like, dude, I'm so fully capable of selling what I want to sell and being the best at it. Going through those times, but.
Yeah, that's absolutely incredible. Because when that self-doubt sinks in, and then having those moments too, where you can look back and be like, oh, like if I've sold 10, I can sell 10 again.
Yeah.
Like there's no reason I can't not sell that because I've already done it.
Yeah.
At that point, it's just psychology
Right.
and it's just hacking your brain,
Yeah.
which is debatably 95% of this job, honestly, is just like effectively learning how to force yourself how to do hard things
Yeah.
and overcome ego,
Yeah.
quite frankly. Because if you are feeling the weight of rejection, if you're feeling the pain of the discomfort, it's just an ego thing at that point,
Yeah.
you know? So because you feel like you're better than that and you don't deserve it and whatnot, but like,
Right.
you know, having the humility to like push through those hard days in that way, it's a game changer.
Yeah.
It's powerful. So,
Yeah.
appreciate you diving into that and being vulnerable with us on there.
Of
'Cause guys,
course.
double Golden Door winners go through the same stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there are days they don't want to get out of the car.
Yeah.
There are days that
Oh
they struggle.
yeah. No, I think 'cause I rode out with my good buddy Tyler Brown. He was my car partner all summer. And it was funny just because like at the end of the day or when I'm dropping him off, he would just have like these whatever doubts or problems. And it's like, dude, what's funny is just like helping him realize that, dude, I have the same exact things. Like, dude, there's days that I go out to area and I'm like, dude, I don't know if I can go sell. Like, dude, I just don't like it's dude, that just happens to everyone. Whether you sell 100 accounts in a summer or you sell 1,000 accounts, dude, you have doubts. Like, it just is what it is. Like,
Yeah.
you have doubts with everything, and it's just learning how to overcome those doubts and just keep going and putting in one more day, one more week, one more month, dude. It's just that's just where, like like stacking dubs just really comes into full effect.
Yeah.
So,
And always doubt your doubts
yep,
first, you know? You're doubting that you can't do it, doubt that.
yeah.
You know, question if that is coming from you or if that's coming from some other place, whether that's ego or, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
So I think that's a very powerful principle. Especially because I think a lot of guys, you know, and we were talking about this before the podcast, you know, they'll see like you or Seager or Brock or any other double Golden Door winner, and they'll be like, oh, well, like they're just built different. Like, I don't have that drive in me. And it's like, guys, really, like they're dealing with the exact same thing.
Yeah.
They're dealing with the exact same doubt. They're dealing with imposter syndrome. They're dealing with you know, just the feeling of like, oh, I can I go out and do this today?
Yeah.
Like,
It's the same stuff,
but it's the
yeah.
systems of how they manage it, guys, is how we overcome it. Which I think is absolutely powerful. So now, you know, you're in Indiana, you know, you have a couple roadblocks, you overcome those. Now getting into Detroit, how long were you in Detroit for?
So I went there, 'cause pretty much in Indy, we were in Fort Wayne All of our guys went home, like, whatever, right after our big competition, so second week of, or third week of August. And so it was only me and four, five other guys. And I went to South Bend for a minute. And then, like, Zach Seeger, Adam Clark, Bailey, they were all in up in Detroit. And so we were like, yeah, let's go head over to Detroit and stuff, because it was, like, whatever, 2 hours away. And so we went there, like, last week of August. And then I was there my whole last month. It helped me out a ton, though, because me and, because Seeger finished like first or second week of September. And so I had him every single day. We'd ride out to area for those two weeks or whatever. So that was a huge just change of surround, like being around a guy that like understands what I'm going through. And he's there doing the same exact thing, doing more. And so it helped me out a ton having those couple weeks with him. And then, yeah, just building off that.
Yeah, because especially the last leg
Yeah.
of a summer, everyone's gone home, it's just you guys. Like that keeps you massively accountable,
Yeah.
especially with when it's like, 'cause you ended what, second place?
Right behind Brock.
Right behind Brock. So third, you guys are basically neck and neck. It's like you have each other to push each other, which is amazing. When did you officially end the summer?
Let's see. I think the last week of September, because I was out. I knocked like a half week, and then I went home to go back to the Limitless conference and our general leadership conference, and then flew back out for 3 days and drove home. So yeah, I had to go
Impressive.
back, and then
You went back out
I know I was trying
after
to
coming home
get
and did 3 days.
I was trying to get it done before, but then I was like, no, dude, I need to go to this, so I had to fly back out and finish.
How
But
many did you slam in those 3 days?
I was like 25 or 30K short when I left, and so I just had to go out, back out and finish those, yeah, 2.5 days or whatever. So I did like 30K.
Dude,
But
let's talk about that, because so many guys, and this is Sam Taggart included, one of his summers, he was at 298 accounts, and he's just like, I can't do it anymore, and he dipped. And then he's like, oh, I'll sell the last two in Utah. And
No,
that didn't
never happens.
happen. He has since repented,
Yeah.
obviously, but a lot of guys kind of build that excuse of like, oh, like I'll go on this vacation or I'll do this. So how did you bounce back from that? How did you go out and do 30K in 3 days?
It was tough. Well, I mean,
Especially in the last
it was
leg.
weird for me just because, like, I wanted to go home for the Limitless conference just because it was like, dude, there was nothing like it, and I had to experience that. But dude, it was
Had to
hard.
meet Goggins.
Yeah, I had to. But it was hard to just, like, it was hard to turn it off. Like, the whole time I was there, dude, it was just thinking about just finishing and just knocking and everything. And so it was way hard. So I was honestly, like, stoked to get back just because, dude, all weekend I was like, dude, I got it. Like, I got to be on the doors right now. Like, I got to finish. I got to finish. And so it wasn't, like, hard to go back out. Like, I wouldn't say, just because the goal was so big that it was like, dude, no, like, yeah, I'm going to go back out and finish. Like,
It's not even a question.
no. So,
And I love that you have that like
yeah.
anxiety. You're
No,
like, I
yeah,
need
dude,
to get back
it was hard.
out.
Like, during Limitless, like, I was trying to take notes and do everything, but I just wasn't there fully just because, like, my goal wasn't finished. And
Yeah, in the
so,
back of your mind, you're like, I'm not
yeah, the
there
whole
yet. Yeah,
time. So, no, it wasn't very hard to, like, go back out and finish just because it was like, dude, that's the goal. It's like, yeah, I got to go back out and finish, and then I'll drive home or whatever. But
gotta make the goal bigger than yourself. I
yeah.
love that. Dude, it's such an inspiration to like see such massive accomplishments, especially from someone so young. Like I think a lot of people, especially in like today's society, we just see so much of that victim mentality of
Yeah.
like, oh, it's like inflation, the government's out to get me, and like I can't buy a house, I can't afford to live, I can't afford to do things. But having that empowerment of like you can go out and create your own destiny.
Yeah.
And that's like the beautiful part about door to door,
Yeah.
is it creates that opportunity for you. You being, you're super young in the industry, you're 2 years in, already double golden door winner. What does the future have in store for you?
Yeah, I think just keep reaching new potentials. Like, it's so cool just 'cause in door to door, dude, it's like 3 years ago, no one thought that anyone would ever sell over a mil after Drew and Cody did it. It's like Zach went out and did 50% more than that this last year. And so it's like, dude, even still, it's like, you'll hear guys, oh, dude, I don't think anyone will ever sell over 1.5, right? But it's like, no, dude, that's just how this industry is. Like, after that, last year, as a rookie, when I sold a Golden Door, dude, everyone was like, oh, dude, there's no shot that anyone does it again, right? Because it's like the year previous, he only did four, or Jackson Curtis did 400K, right? But then it's like this year, we had two Golden Door rookies at the Grit. And so it's like, dude, the industry will just continue to level up every single year, and so will I. And just keep reaching new heights. But
yeah. And it's amazing to see, you know, how it's rising up, you know, and Cody and I talked about this on his podcast. It's just like the ripple effect of your guys' accomplishment of breaking $1 million in 2020.
Yeah.
It has been like nothing but beneficial for everyone in the industry.
Yeah.
And it's so cool to see the consequences of, and I'll, you know, it kind of even goes into like, guys, you don't know the ripple effect of a big accomplishment. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's like one big accomplishment from you, it can change the lives of many people.
Yeah.
So that's amazing. Thank you for helping inspire other people, inspiring rookies, you know, showing everyone that it can be done.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're excited to have you on stage for DDD Con for a double Golden Door this year.
Yep.
What are you most looking forward to with DDD Con?
Dude, it was sick last year. It was just cool just being able to go up on the stage and just see all the guys that have just done it.
Yeah.
And it's funny just because, like, throughout the summer and stuff, my rookie year, and then this last year, it's like, dude, that's, like, I would think about that all the time. It's like, dude, that's what, like, motivates you. Like, you don't want to, when you have a goal to set, when you set a goal to go do a Golden Door, it's like, dude, you don't want to not be on that stage. Like, dude, you've got to be there, right? Just because there's just nothing like it.
Yeah.
When last year we had whatever 35 guys up there, being one of those guys, dude, it's so massive, right? And so, I'm just stoked to just be on the stage with all the guys that have, like, hit their goals, done what they said they were gonna do. Just because I think that's massive. But
yeah, absolutely. And it's so cool, like, meeting other guys from other industries and like, just like, you know, you can look at each other with like mad respect.
Yeah.
Be like, cool. I know you went out and did something hard.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just a big group that knows what you honestly just went through. And it's like, you all just did the same exact thing. And so I think it's way cool.
But, yeah. You went to war and you came back veterans with your bullet wounds and everything. So now who do you think deserves to be on that stage, but is not going to be? Who are you calling out?
For next year. Like I said, my car partner, Tyler Brown, he's for sure got to be there. He sold 450K as a rookie this year. For sure going to level up, do well over a Golden Door. Let's see. Who else? My guy, Marco Martinez, sold 240K as a rookie. 400K this last year. He's for sure got to be there this next year. Let's see. Dude, there's just so many guys. Like, guys that I work with that are anywhere between 350K and 400K. Dude, it's just like, it really is just a choice to just go make it happen. Yeah. Like, nothing changes as far as technique goes. It's like, dude, all these guys that we'll talk about that, dude, they should for sure do a Golden Door. Dude, it's literally just a commitment and a choice to just go out and make it happen. But, yeah, I'd say for sure those two. There's for sure tons of others, but those two have got to be on that stage next year, for sure.
I love it. So you guys know who you are. Yep. It is written in stone, and we'll see you on stage next year at DDD Con. So, Corbin, any parting words for the industry? Any you know, anything that you got that you want to give?
No, dude, I'm just stoked to keep leveling up and just breaking through more glass ceilings.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, guys, this has been an amazing episode of the Golden Door Deep Dive podcast. We'll see you all at DDD Con January 25th through the 27th here in Salt Lake City. Corbin, thank you for coming on, man. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.